got Astrocyte Verse.
Yeah, finally?
Finally.
Oh my god.
I saw you playing around with it. Yeah.
It rolled so perfectly for me.
What'd you get on it?
It came with Light Reactor.
Yeah.
For more supers with fusion rifle kills.
Good.
It came with Heavy Lifting. And it came with Pump Action, Fusion Rifle Reserves, and Heavy Ammo Finder.
Really? Like, so you can use whatever you want with that thing.
It was just catered to me. Dude, it was so good.
It's kind of gross, actually.
Yeah.
I'm a little self-conscious about my astrocyte. Yeah, like, auto rifle targeting. Ugh.
Oh, I am so sorry, bud.
Because that's what I'm using. Galarin's right whatever piece of trash.
Galarin's right toe.
Galarin's sadness.
It's not the best auto rifle right there. Could be better.
It's not. You know, I've been using. I brought out the old Braytech Winter Wolf and Iron Banner, and it's been really, really fun.
The Winter Wolf.
Yeah,
that was a decent auto rifle. Like I can't even lie. That was in the 450 tier, right?
Yeah.
I think so. It's like it almost has the same stats as Galren's right hand, but it shoots faster.
But it's a better rate of fire. Yeah,
it's a better rate of fire. Yeah, so it's a much better option to use.
I've got dim up, so I'm gonna look this thing up right now because I've got Galren's trash on. And no, yeah, you're right. It's actually really comparable stats there. Better stability though, better reload speed and all of that. But the other stats are fairly comparable. That's it's a secret, everybody. Ignore raid weapons. Just go get this Nightfall exclusive auto rifle and roll with that instead. Isn't that the name of the game?
Comes from Mars, not a Nightfall. Just heads up.
Mars is haunted.
Oh, you're right. This is one of the Anna Bray weapons. Even better. You don't even have to run a stupid Nightfall to get your hands on the Braytech Winter Wolf. You just had to be stupidly lucky with the little... That was like, what, the resonant frequency nonsense from Anna?
I think so.
Like, never mind. That just reminded me of Curse of Osiris and Warmind and the grinds that were tied to that. Don't do that instead. Instead, just sit back here and watch the show. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to episode 204 of the Planet Destiny podcast. Welcome, boys and girls. You have entered the Iron Lords of Wolvestown. Dan came up with that name.
Yeah, I did.
He's very proud of it. I'm very proud of it, too. It's a reference. 5 points. 5 points to whomever understands that reference. Put it in chat down below.
And if
I'll know if you Googled it. I'll
if
know.
You put, if you find out what Fred Durst's... relationship with it is so
that an extra 5 points to Gryffindor if you find out what Fred Durst's connection to that reference is. Come on, you guys can do it. I believe in you. But what's up, guys? Welcome back to another episode of the podcast. We are here once again to talk about the goings on in the Destiny universe. Quite a few things happening this week. We, of course, had Iron Banner, an Iron Banner quest that granted you weapons. Well, at least if you were a warlock and a titan, because hunters can't kill with grenades. What are you talking about, man? That doesn't happen. Ugh. But we had some words about a very specific exotic shotgun that I told you, one more time, told you, weeks ago, I told you guys that the Lord of Wolves was going to be the next thing in the target sites of the PvP community. And here we are. Here we are. Everybody complaining about that 6.4% usage rate for the Lord of Wolves across PvP right now. I checked it before we went live on Destiny Tracker, just so I could have a statistic to throw at you if you're mad about that weapon. So we're going to be talking a bit about that. And we had some major Eververse changes announced that made a couple people here pretty happy, I would say.
Yeah. I'd say so.
I was pretty happy with the Eververse changes, and we're going to be diving on into all of that and more in this week's episode. But first things first, we have got our roundtable of three this week. We've got Mr. Nim Plays.
What's up?
Dan Finity.
Hello!
And of course, I am the Black Link, and we are going to be chatting your ear off for a little bit of time. Why don't we go ahead and start with the Eververse thing? Because I think that was by far the biggest, most pleasant surprise of the week when it came to Destiny news. We've had a couple of good weeks of decent news here in Destiny. And this week, we got to hear from Luke Smith, who seems to have burrowed his way out of that dark cavern he's been in since, like, you know, summer of last year, and remembered how to make tweets and posts and stuff, because we've been hearing quite a bit from Luke Smith over these past couple of weeks, and I'm always happy to hear from that guy. But Eververse, it's got to be seeing some changes. The armor sets that we've been getting as Eververse exclusives for the past year, basically, are getting turned into ornaments. Did I read that right, Nim?
Yes. So basically, going forward, on once Shadowkeep comes out, any legendary set that you have, you'll be able to use as an ornament any of the previous Eververse armor sets that has released. So if you've been collecting them since, you know, Destiny like came out a couple years ago, all of those armor sets, you're going to be able to finally just kind of like override legendaries and keep whatever perks and stats you're using with your new armor set, and then just make it look like an Eververse one. It's basically an Eververse transmog.
Yeah, so we're basically getting a universal transmog for the Eververse armor that's going to become an ornament for all the legendary gear in the game once Armor 2.0 comes out, which is really surprising and really cool, and thank goodness it's retroactive, because, oh boy, Lord knows I've collected all of that Eververse gear for all three classes in every single season. But this is kind of a change that came out of nowhere, but it has a lot of really cool benefits to it. One, I think, is loosening up some vault space. I am so happy that I can trash all of that Eververse armor that's sitting at 10 light in my vault right now. What about you guys?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah, I am. I sat down and I deleted everything.
I had a chest piece drop from Eververse that actually had something like had something usable on it, and I was like, I'm gonna keep you forever, and now it's like, I don't need you anymore. Eh, it's fine. Yeah. Yeah, I can get the bright dust out of you, it'll be fine. So
yeah, it's cool. Like, with the way things are moving with Armor 2.0, we talked about that in previous weeks about how, you know, you're going to be able to basically work towards unlocking perks and then adding that perk to the armor that you want to wear, so you can kind of wear whatever you want rather than looking like a space trash bag with your mixed armor sets out there. This is kind of an expansion upon that, so that you can keep that armor you're wearing and then just apply whatever sort of ornament you want, so you don't have to worry about getting a decent roll of the Han Solo Titan jacket that's on sale in Eververse right this second. It looks cool, it fits with so many armor sets, but it's got a garbage roll in the store. You don't have to worry about that anymore. And I think that is a fantastic step moving forward. And it wasn't really the only thing they talked about. Aren't they doing something with Bright Dust too?
Yeah. So going forward, the way that all this is going to work is that if you have Eververse ships, shaders, ghosts, sparrows, armor, dismantle it all before September 17th hits. The way these things are going to change is that when you're pulling like a shader or a ghost or sparrow from the collections, they're no longer going to cost bright dust. It's going to cost legendary shards and glimmer, which is a fantastic change. I can't tell you how much bright dust I've spent pulling out like Warbreak or Bloody Tooth or Nebula Rose from the collections. That being said, because of course they have to balance out, you know, that economy, if you keep anything that's Eververse from now and after Shadowkeep releases, when you dismantle it, then it's only going to dismantle into legendary shards and glimmer. So to maximize your bright dust, you know, if you want to buy stuff between now and Shadowkeep, or if you just kind of want to hoard it through Shadowkeep, just delete everything right now. Unless you're like super emotionally attached to like a ghost or something.
My ghost that I can pull from collections. My ghost. Yeah, it's a cool change, and like they talked a bit about how Bright Dust is going to be coming from bounties and not dismantling the stuff like that. So they're kind of changing the way you farm that up, and I think it's a good idea. I think it's a pretty good idea. They're giving you more ways to earn that stuff by playing the game rather than, you know, just sharding things you got from a loot box over the course of your game session.
One of the questions that I had concerning this, though. So, for the armor, I don't know. I don't think that they address this right now. But do you think, is it going to be retroactive for all armor? So the armor that I have right now, if I want to put one of these Eververse universal ornaments on it, like, will it work on the stuff that I have now, or is it going to be a new iteration? Am I going to have to grind for something new in order to put that universal shader on there?
So I think what I read around the interwebs is that there are certain armor sets that will be moving forward from, like, this year into Shadowkeep. But some of that stuff will take some time to kind of move forward.
Okay.
Kind of like how they've been doing these things right now. And once they start bringing those over, then I'm sure, you know, the ornamentation system, because we still don't know as a whole how Armor 2.0 is going to work yet.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, we don't know if it's just going to, like, be a system that changes every armor set or just the armor set from Shadowkeep going forward.
Yeah.
In the article itself, it actually drops a line about this by stating that as of this September, all Eververse armor is being converted into universal ornaments. These universal ornaments can be applied to all of the legendary armor sets we're releasing this fall.
Oh, okay.
So it does look like it's going to be the armor sets that are post-Shadowkeep and beyond, which we do know that they're trying to implement all of the year one and year two armor that we've currently got into a Shadowkeep form. I get the feeling it's going to be kind of like how certain year one weapons have like a year one version right now and a year two version, like Better Devils. And that's probably database stuff that they have to work out as they move forward with this new system. So it's going to be armor that you get in September.
Okay. Well, I don't. So part of that for me also is like, so we're getting these armor sets for Iron Banner and Opulence, possibly the upcoming Solstice, that have these kind of expanded slots to them where you can put a different mod in and like somewhere else. Do you think they're future-proofing those as well?
I hope so.
I hope so.
Yeah.
I would hope so. Yeah. I don't want another year one Solstice thing to come around where it's like we grind our butts off for this new gear and then come Shadowkeep, something's gonna be lacking in it
It's not gonna be like, God, that was such a dick chop.
It still hurts.
It still hurts. I'm still feeling that one right there. To do all that work, get that awesome-looking armor set, level it up to legendary. Remember all the stuff you had to do? The story missions, the Nightfalls, all those challenges. And then, like, a couple weeks later, an entirely new armor system comes out, and that Solstice gear just doesn't apply at all. Doesn't have any of those perks. And,
it's just gone.
Yeah, so I really hope this is going to be something they push moving forward. I think I look at it as kind of an evolution of the system they had in year one. With, if you remember Iron Banner in year one of D2, you had one set of armor. And then each season, you got a new ornament for that set of armor. Yeah. And that was basically how they got around the whole adding a new armor set every single time a season comes around. And I always wondered why they moved away from that, because I thought that was a good idea. That way, you only really had to earn one armor set, and then each season you were fighting whether to, you know, get new weapons and get the new ornaments. And this seems like a pretty natural evolution of that sort of system.
Yeah.
So yeah, I would very much like to see that move forward with Iron Banner gear and stuff like that. Especially now that Iron Banner gear can roll with enhanced perks. Like,
finally.
But overall, I think it's a good change. I'm really looking forward to this. There's a lot of Eververse sets that are pretty cool. I do wonder if they're going to make some of the previous Eververse stuff available. They did say they're going to be bringing back year one stuff over the course of the next couple of months. I wonder if that includes event stuff like the Dawning gear, because that was the one Eververse set your boy TBL never got. For reasons.
Can't have it, dude.
For whatever I was loyal. I was loyal to you, Destiny. I played through Curse of Osiris. I was on every single day. Never got any of the Dawning armor set. So I would hope that does pop up in the Eververse store in the next couple of months so I can buy it and then ornament everything with it when September comes around.
Yeah.
Overall, cool system. Definitely.
Remember when those Ingram's at the top of the season, we're like, oh yeah, we're releasing all the year one stuff. Yeah. I think I was kind of disappointed a little bit, but it makes sense now. Everything in hindsight is 2020.
Oh, did you want that exclusivity like that? I was here during year one. I want this kind to be mine.
Yeah, a little, but like I can see how, like I can see how for collectors,
yeah,
it's a big thing. Yeah, like I just remember like folks from my former Dads of Destiny clan, like they would try to get every single thing, and yeah, kind of getting shut out of that. I can see a point of frustration that maybe isn't necessarily needed there.
But it would have been nice to have that as your trophy. Like, had to be here at the time. I like this. It's like 26% elitist Dan. Only 26%. He's a tiny bit of elitist Dan. I love it. I love it. I'm gonna
you guys
water
are growing
that
on
see
me.
If it grows. Good. You know, I feel the same way. Like, one of the things I've talked about over the past couple of weeks is this Iron Banner. I love that the armor that you get now can equip the ornaments from year one. And right now, there's no way to earn those ornaments from year one. So, like, I'm running around with that hunter cloak that you could only get in, like, season two of Destiny 2. And people are like, how did you get that?
Had to be there.
You had to suffer through a year ago, buddy. So, I get you there, Dan. I get you there. But, yeah, you know, for collectors like me, never got that dawning stuff.
Can't have it.
I'll throw money. The moment it pops up, I will throw money. Everything they've got there, so it's interesting to see that, and it's I think it's a good thing moving forward.
Honestly, that's the only reason why I've been going through the Iron Banner quest this time around, and I have to hurry up and finish it because I still have two more steps in it because I want to be able to use my season 3
helmet
for my warlock, because that's what I've been rocking already, just minus the perks. So I kind of want to have that there.
The metal like Ash Raven's one, is it?
Yeah, the one that makes you look like Lord Zedd.
Yeah. that whole season of ornaments was like that. The Warlock helmet looks like Lord Zedd, and the Titan one looked like the Shredder.
Shredder, yeah.
Babies! Old Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles joke. Somebody's going to understand that. One of you out there is going to understand, and to you, my dog. Why don't we go ahead and talk about Iron Banner? Because that's happening this week. And yeah, we got a quest line. Did you guys get that quest line done?
No.
I haven't. I figured I had a season to work on it, so I'm gonna just chill on that. Just work on it as I go.
You have chosen wisely. I decided to, of course, I just talked about the fact that I was super excited to get that hunter cloak back. From year one, the ornament for it from year one. So I jumped in on Iron Banner first on my hunter because I figured I'll just get this quest done real quick. It'll take what, one day? I'll get that done and I'll have my armor set and then I can go on to my warlock and my titan. Haven't even touched my warlock and my titan yet. I'm still stuck on grenade kills for that quest. I'm at like 38% on grenade kills and it's awful. It is truly a bad time getting that part done. So, from what I hear, the next part is the class item one. So I'm going to see if I can try to burn that out before before reset rolls around. But sheesh, I feel your pain, hunters out there. Like if you're trying to get that grenade step done, I understand. Yikes! How do you guys feel about that
step? I think the following step after that is you have to get, like, scout, fusion, auto, sniper, and sword kills. That's the part I'm on.
Right.
How many?
Have I completed of that?
Yeah, how many have you completed of that?
I think I'm almost maxed out the fusion for obvious reasons, but everything else is still, like, 0%. I'm going to struggle with the sniper portion of that because I don't have thumbs. So that's gonna be great.
Well, look at it like this, man. It's just a way for you to get progress towards Revoker.
I ain't getting that. I don't need it. I can just go to Menagerie and get a better sniper.
Oof. Yeah, you're right.
It's true.
You kind of right about that. True. You kind of look up the Destiny tracker numbers. Beloved, like 6.4% usage over the course of last week. Good sniper. Very good sniper rifle. Get that no distractions on it. You're good. You're good.
Does Black Talon work for the sword kills?
I think so.
Yeah.
Cool. So, I'm good. I'm set.
So you can sword beam people with the Black Talon. That'll definitely work. I like the idea of a quest giving you the armor. I think it's a neat deviation from what they've had thus far. I think what I liked most about the quest giving you the armor is that it gave people the opportunity to farm for a decent swarm of the Raven grenade launcher, because none of the armor is in the loot pool until you start unlocking those steps, in which case it doesn't matter how many quest steps you complete, you're only going to get boots. But
I had 600 tokens left over from previous Iron Banner seasons. It took me 4 packages. Ooh. Sit on that chat.
Send all your hate mail to @NimPlays on Twitter.
Right here.
I gotta, you know what? I can't even argue. Like, because you and I talked when Iron Banner dropped. And we were like, oh, we've got a couple hundred tokens in the bank. We can just go turn that in. Yeah, on like package number 4 or 5, I got a Ambitious Assassin Field Prep Spike Grenades Hard Launch Swarm of the Raven. So I was like, oh, I don't need to play this game anymore. I'm done. I don't have to play Iron Banner. I'm finished. And I haven't played a single match.
Upset.
So that was good.
Yeah. The one that I got was Spike Grenades, Threat Detector, and Ambitious Assassin, which is fantastic for that, because like you're consistently going to have thralls on you when you're when you're DPSing Galarin.
Yeah.
So Threat Detector immediately is going to kick in and give me that that hot and spicy increased reload.
Yeah, and that's what it's all about. You know, it's all about using it in that final encounter in the Crown of Sorrow. It's hilarious that a grenade launcher is the biggest DPS weapon in the game right now. Rest in peace, Whisper. But yeah, so you know, like doing the quest here, I think it's cool that they tied the armor behind it. I would probably change a few of the quest steps, and by a few I just mean one.
Grenades.
I would probably just change that grenade thing, because good lord, it takes quest steps like this to remind you of how weak grenades are in Destiny 2's PvP.
Yeah.
Outside of some of the AoE ones where, like, you can trap people in a small corner and they don't realize they're standing in a vortex nade, it can be pretty hard to secure a kill with a grenade, outside of weakening them and maybe getting something that'll chase them.
Yeah.
So my handheld supernova would like to have a chat.
Yeah.
That's not a grenade. That's a nuclear punch to the face.
Well, and BG Rising in chat brought up an interesting point on hunters. I mean, if you're running pole dancer and you've got Shinobu's Vow on, just chuck 2 grenades down the hallway, you're good. You're fine. Like, it'll work.
Yeah, so. And that's actually what I wound up switching to get that 38%. Because I'm sitting there like, I'll just play on Spectral, get my melee kills, super kills, and grenade kills done at the same time. Nope, grenades on that Void class suck. So I had to swap over to, that's exactly what I did. I swapped over to Arcstrider, threw on Shinobus, and was just like, please get a kill.
Yeah.
Guardian down. Got him.
Nice.
There are definitely ways to get it done, but like, you guys know I'm a Warlock main most of the time, and it's fairly easy to get grenade kills as a Warlock in PvP. And even as a Titan, I would say. Not so much as a Hunter. You gotta pull some sneaky, sneaky stuff to secure those grenade kills as a Hunter. So I understand the struggle some of you guys are going through right now. Yikes. Hopefully I'll be able to get that done before Iron Banner goes away.
But, that is unfortunate.
Truly.
Just waiting it out. I have no need for everything right now. It is
that's true.
Going to come back around 3-4 more times by the end of this. You should be fine.
I'd say probably 2 more times.
2 more times?
Probably. That's what I'm intending on doing, just one quest per character.
Yeah.
Per, like,
yeah, because it is a per character thing, not a per account thing, so definitely not happening on more than one character this week for me. There's no way I'm getting that done on the other characters, but I'm after those ornaments, so I'm definitely going to be playing it as Iron Banner returns in coming months. Don't know if I'll enjoy it, though. How has Iron Banner been treating you gentlemen this week? I agree, Nim. It's been a for me too.
It's all right. I mean, it's Crucible. On occasion, you end up like with the like I don't know the one or two people using Lord of Wolves on the other side, and I laugh in fusion rifle.
Yeah. I really didn't notice it that much. Like I there were maybe a couple of handful of games where like more than one person was running Lord of Wolves, and rarely were they.
Remember that six stack that was using nothing but Lord of Wolves?
Yeah.
And ended up mercing them. That was great.
Yeah, that was unfortunate. That was what Radiant Cliffs, and like they thought that they would have the cavalry's ride and like rush us on B at the start of the or C at the start of the game, and like we just fusion rifles, they work against Lord of Wolves. Outrange it.
Yeah.
It's a pretty easy way to handle that thing.
Yeah.
I think this week has kind of shown me that I'm not really that fond of Iron Banner in Destiny 2. There's a reason I haven't played it for quite a while. I think that there are a couple of things they could do to a couple of changes they could make to make it a bit more of a fun game mode. For one, I think it's okay to bounce between Control and Clash. Like, you can have 1 week of Iron Banner that's Control, and then another time where it's Clash. Because there's nothing more frustrating than solo queuing an Iron Banner, getting slapped by skill-based matchmaking nonstop, and then being thrown on a team with people who absolutely either refuse to play the objective or can't hold a point worth anything. That's frustrating to me.
See,
I wish you were...
Go ahead.
All I was going to say is I just wish it would rotate daily between controls.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be cool.
That'd be awesome.
So, in my experiences, maybe I'm spoiled by, like, my chat, but usually I have, like, six people in the match with me.
Fire team.
And we're just, like, we're rolling. I just looked at my Destiny tracker stats. I mean, I won, out of the last 25 games, we won 60% of them. That's not great. It's not bad, but, like, at least it's a trend opposite. It's not 50-50, right?
Yeah.
So
you beat the algorithm. Congratulations.
Yeah. So I don't know. I feel like that's fine. Like if you run with the team, you're going to be in a better spot than if you don't, because it's still team shoot. You still have to team shoot everybody. So do it with a team and you'll be aces.
There. I love this. 26% elitist Dan. What's wrong? Get a team, bro.
I mean, if you're on PlayStation, I'll hang out with you. Like, if you want to hang out on PlayStation, just let me know. I'm here.
Yeah, you know, you're absolutely right. That is the optimal way to play. Like, Iron Banner, get yourself a bunch of your buddies together and go roll heads all over the place.
Or even some strangers. Get some strangers together and just be like, hey, guys, let's go to C. And everybody's like, okay.
Hey, guys, let's not lose. There you go. Take a point. If you sit on it, you get the point, and it gives you bonuses for the kills that you're getting. That's how this game mode works. Yeah, yeah. Saying, you know, so I wish I had a full team of people. Nim, you know, our buddy Jonathan, it took every ounce of his willpower to get through that last game or two. Like, after we got off stream, that dude was like, never again.
Oh god, so mad.
And we were in a four stack. Like, we were in a four stack there, and like because we were in a four stack, we were getting slapped with four stack matchmaking. We took a look at Destiny Tracker after that. It was nothing but diamond players all across every team we were getting. And by the way, it was you and Steyr's fault. My Iron Banner ELO, because I never play it, was in like silver. You and Steyr were like in the 2300s, and that's all we were getting because of you. My booty cheeks got waxed because of you, Nim. I'm sitting in there running into Cruiser like, what? It's because of you, man. It's your fault. But I don't mind that. Like, to be perfectly honest, like, I didn't get mad throughout that whole stream. I was like, we're getting waxed, or we're waxing. But I really do wish that we could get a change in game mode. Like,
yeah, that would
I get a little tired of Control. I wouldn't even be mad if they, I wouldn't even be mad if, like, they threw in Supremacy, which for some reason people seem to hate, but it's just Clash with an extra step. Anything other than just control over and over and over again, because as a solo player, a lot of the time, that creates a really frustrating environment in the Iron Banner.
Yeah.
And with the way matchmaking works, Nim, you and I talked about this, it always feels like either you're mercying the enemy team, or the enemy team is mercying
yeah.
you.
Yeah, ran into a
There's
lot of
no
that.
In between.
Remember what happened directly after we mercied that sit stack?
Yeah, we got waxed.
We loaded into a match that was like 50 to 10. And
yeah.
We were obviously on the 10 side. So it was like 2 minutes into the match,
Mercy.
We got mercied. So.
And I don't want to tear open an old wound, but that's my gripe with the matchmaking there, because that matchmaking is aggressive in Iron Banner. For those who don't know, the matchmaking system in weekly playlists like the Iron Banner is different from what you experience in quick play. Skill-based matchmaking is active in that, and it does try to keep you at that 50-50 win-loss ratio, to the point of, like Nim said, throwing he and I into a room where, like, our team was down by 40-something points at the very start. And a minute and a half, 2 minutes later, we're mercied.
Yeah.
I think there should be some sort of change there, at least in game mode. I'll take my beatings in Clash. I don't want to take it in Control where I'm mercied super quickly. Yeah, maybe that's just me. Maybe I'm just whining too much. Dan, how was your experience in Iron Banner?
Like I said, it was okay. Like I was kind of passively playing for the most part, just kind of hanging out in chat. Letting people join up. I had a lot. Okay. So there's some people who are going to feel vindicated in this because I was playing on Titan earlier today. I want to say to them, Jaden, no. but so, yeah, I was having a lot of fun just popping bubble with Saint Helm of Saint 14. And just if we needed to cap a zone, I would just run over to it and pop the bubble. I'm like,
oh, I love you.
And so, yeah, like people would still, I don't know if people played D1 a lot or if not a lot of people do this tactic, but people are still coming into the bubble. So, I mean, it was pretty fun. you'd have some good times, you'd have some bad times, but like most of the time somebody would come in. I was running the Ikelos SMG.
Man.
And, what I finally settled on was Truth, Ikelos SMG, and I had a full auto, it's a full auto outlaw, go figure that I was running. Ooh. And so just, I had my long range, I had my short range, and I had my bubble, and it worked great. It was really fun. Yes, Jebby, I might be stealing your strategy, but it was fun. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah. Maybe it's because people didn't play D1, or maybe it's just because nobody uses bubble in D2, so
yeah.
People see it and they're like, huh, this is safe to walk into.
And then, yeah, they just kept coming in. and I don't know what they were expecting, but sometimes they were sadly mistaken.
That takes some real balls to do, especially with like all the Lord of Wolves that are out there right now. Like you're gonna step into my office like, unprotected. Don't do that. But I love you for using the bubble strat. That is a great way to force your teammates to take a point. Y'all want to be safe?
Yeah.
Step into the office.
And even then, they'd still get like if the point was uncontested, they'd still get the orbs. So they'd just, say, hey, bubble at sea. They'd come through and pick up the orbs, and their super was up faster. So, all good.
It's not a bad strat. Not a bad strat at all for the Iron Banner there. Man, I'm seeing people in chat talking about, like, Rift and whatnot. Did we ever get Iron Banner's Rift? I think we did back in D1, right?
We did once or twice.
And I hated
right?
it.
That was very objective.
We definitely did, because I distinctly remember avoiding Iron Banner like the plague.
So why did you hate it?
Just if I went in by myself, I just did not have a good time, because people that didn't know how to get the rift from one point to another.
Yeah.
They would just pick it up and just run around with it and not ever get to the destination. And then we would end up dying because then we were up against either a fire team of like three or four. And that's more than enough for them to communicate.
Absolutely.
Know, and then pretty much just curb stomp us.
Yeah.
If I was with a fire team, it was a lot easier because there's communication. It's one of those things, like, for example, like in Gambit Prime, I never solo queue into Gambit Prime anymore.
Yeah.
That just requires way too much communication. I just go play traditional. It's the same thing with Rift. And I know there's a lot of people who are, you know, this is a hot take right here. And a lot of people are going to disagree with me, but that's just how I felt about it.
Yeah.
It was like the most objective based game mode in like in D1 outside of trials and stuff like that. Or, you know, like Elim or anything like that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I definitely remember it causing a bit of problems if, like, you were a solo player in Rift of all game modes where, like, there needs to be coordination. There needed to be coordination to get that balls of the enemy team with the way spawns worked and all that kind of stuff. I don't know if I could see that being Iron Banner in D2.
I miss Rift, though. Well, I could see it being if it was... I could see it being if it was, like, a little bit more of a pass the ball type of thing now. Now that we have that mechanic.
Yeah.
That would be kind of cool. And like, what if you could only pass the ball backwards? And if you passed it forwards, the ball exploded after like a few seconds. Holy shit. Anyways. But like, when I was running it, I always had, whether I was with like a group or not, most of the time I was with a group, you know, like clan buds are clan buds. And
yeah.
I would have routes that I would run. Like, I memorized most of the maps to the point where it's like, okay, so the one with the double... The one with the bridge straight down the middle, I can't remember the name of it, where it had basically a warehouse on one side and a garage on the other. Yeah.
Frontier.
Yeah. It used to be that you could... I think you could run up on top of that bridge. That was kind of a fun one.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then there was another one where it was like, okay, I'll just buzz over to the right, try to hop in through the side of the warehouse and then slam it. And most of the time that was fine, you know, but yeah, you know. So it goes.
Yeah. Frontier. That's a map that I could actually see coming to Destiny 2. I'd love to see that map come back alongside stuff like Twilight Gap and all of those. That was a cool one. Like I haven't thought about that map in forever, but you're right. I love that map. Even with the cheese of sitting on top of the bridge.
Yeah, they fixed that, but...
it took a little while. It took a little while, but they fixed it. Absolutely. And I would be happy to see that one... I'd be happy to see that one return. Yo, to Joker there in the chat. Agreed. 100% agreed. It's just okay. It's okay. It's an okay weapon. That's a Lord of Wolves reference, everybody. You have to re-chat to... Gotta be here. So what would you like to see them do? If they were to make any sort of change to Iron Banner, maybe to game mode or anything like that, what would you like to see happen here in Destiny 2? I think they'd be perfectly fine putting it on rotation, like between Clash and Control, just so you're not stuck playing Control all the time, every time it comes up.
Remember Supremacy? Would anybody want that back? For like,
just, I love that game mode.
Yeah, just for like one Iron Banner every season? Would that be okay or no? Am I being attacked?
I still don't understand.
I feel like it, but I don't know.
You might be. Maybe in chat. I'm going to have to read the comments after this goes up. I don't understand why people didn't like Supremacy. I never really understood what people disliked about it.
It's people just kill and never pick up their engram.
So that, people enjoy getting their super slower?
Well, it also made up like 70% of the quick play pool right out the gate, right?
That is true.
So people just kept running into it, and it was a novel mode, right? But when we got it in D1, but they just oversaturated that whole game economy in quick play for us, where it's just unfortunate.
Yeah. So you think it was a bit of a overexposure that kind of turned people off to it?
Yeah, definitely.
I could see that.
Supremacy.
Yeah. like you'd get supremacy, and then you'd get a clash, and you're like,
Yay! The gods, it does exist!
The gods have shined on me on this day! Let us shoot forth! And then you'd die, and then you'd get, like, four more supremacies in a row.
Supremacy.
Yeah.
That's what it is with, like, Control right now. It's super weird. It's just, like, you load in, it's a Control, 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 Control. One game of Clash, Control. I think Supremacy would work for Iron Banner, you know? It's basically Clash. It's got a little bit of an objective tied to it with picking up the crests and whatnot. Bungie seems to like adding objectives to the Iron Banner game mode, keeping OBJ-based game modes on there. I think that'd be a good compromise, just putting in a little bit of Supremacy there. You know, I liked it. I enjoyed that game mode. I thought it was fun. And it lasted longer than Clash, which was also kind of nice.
Yeah.
You get some bounties done in that.
Mm-hmm. Heck yeah.
Mm-hmm. But at bare minimum, I'd really just love to see them incorporate Clash into Iron Banner. Just more than, I don't mind playing Iron Banner Control, but give me a little bit of Clash peppered in there. Like Nim said, maybe bounce it day by day. First day of Iron Banner's Control, second day is Clash, and then it just goes back and forth or something like that. I think that could I think that could be a decent enough solution there.
Mills asks a good question in chat. He said, how would the hunt mode work in Clash or Supremacy? That's something that they'd have to work out, but
it wouldn't, and that's the point.
It doesn't exist, yeah. That's the thing. Like,
yeah.
If you're going into Iron Banner Control, like, by yourself, and you end up finding a team that's either, like, four or like, five people, and they just completely triple cap you over and over again, you're going to get steamrolled.
Yeah.
With something without the hunt, it gives a little bit more leeway for people to just play the game mode and maybe have a chance if they're solo queuing.
Yeah, when they load into that team. When they load into that 58v10 gameplay.
Yeah.
I mean, I understand, and we talked about this on stream, Nim. I understand why they came up with the triple cap hunting mechanic there. It was to get teams off of their points. They were trying to prevent kind of what happened a lot in Control in D1, where like a dominant team would capture two optimal points, whether that be A and C, B and C, or A and C, or you know, whatever combination there on certain maps, and then just held those points and spawn trap people. The triple cap mechanic was to get people out of that and, you know, force you to move around. What it really just wound up doing is throwing spawns into absolute chaos, tossing everybody everywhere, and then not really changing the spawn trapping at all. Because you're spawning by yourself on a side that may have two or three enemies on it, getting killed, being spawned on another side that may have one or two enemies on it, getting killed, and then, again, against a competent team, it's just going to be triple cap over and over and over again. So I understand why the mechanic exists. I think it was a decent idea to try to get teams to move around, but I don't know if it I don't know if that worked out as well as they would have hoped there.
Dude, can you imagine a like King of the Hill mode for Iron Banner where each team like has if they meet a certain criteria in the match, they unlock one of like the Iron Lord axes from D1. And then that would like help you cap the hill or whatever.
Yeah.
That'd be dope.
Yeah, you know, something like a relic sort of thing. Yeah.
Where kills didn't give you points except for capturing points.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We had a Control version of that in D1, didn't we? Where like the only thing that got points was getting capturing zone control. Yeah. I could see that working. When it comes to the idea of getting the Warhammer, I would, one, this is a Bungie game. How in the world are we this many years in and we still don't have a King of the Hill mode? What are you doing?
With so many relics that they have.
What are you actually doing? The iron axe or whatever it was called would be perfect for that. And I would love it if they brought in some kind of relic game mode. You know, bring that into Crucible Labs. Let us test around with it where there's exactly one. You fight up to get it. It's got a limited amount of energy. If you die, you drop it so either your team or the enemy team can pick it up and use it.
Maybe some sort of mechanic where you power up the relic. Like, each side is working to power up the relic so that they can then go into the middle and chase for it.
Something like that. Yeah. Anything to be a bit more a bit more creative than just the normal game modes we have right now. And they've played around with some of that stuff in Crucible Labs, like how we had the whole Scorch Cannon game mode for about a week. That was interesting. I'd love to see them do more with that, because they've got no lack of relics to play with. And even when it comes to something like Rift, with like Dan said earlier, throwing the orbs, I think that could make a really fun like reimagining of the Rift game mode.
Yeah, that would be cool. I would actually probably enjoy that one.
Yeah, if you could toss the orb, absolutely.
Yeah. Absolutely. You just have to teach everybody how to do it.
Yeah. And then, you know, some people would not have to dick around with the orb for 10 minutes.
I don't know what you're talking about.
What if they put a timer on the orbs? Like, you can only hold it for a certain amount of time.
Well, that's... Oh, yeah, and then it kills you?
Yeah.
Like if it pops or something?
Either or, like... Hell yeah. That's kind of what I was saying, like... Spawn? If you were able to throw it back, like, it would be fine. Like, you'd maybe get, like, 20 seconds. 20 seconds is, like, a nice amount of time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then before, like, you'd have to pass it off to someone else or go for the goal. But if you passed it forward, maybe you got 10. And it started, like...
You know what this reminds me of?
What?
That game in Final Fantasy X.
Blitzball.
Oh, Blitzball! Hey, we just created Blitzball, guys.
Congratulations. We created a game mode that was built by Square.
I haven't thought about Blitzball in 16, 17 years.
Hey, Blitzball had cool music behind it. I loved it. Oh. Yeah, I think that'd be a really neat take on the whole Rift game mode, if you could kind of pass the orb and if there were a time limit to keep people from scumming with it, you know, grabbing it and hiding in the back corner of your spawn. I think that'd be a pretty cool way to incorporate that.
Yeah.
I could see that coming back. It'd be cool stuff there. Definitely cool stuff. So, do we want to take some time to talk about Lord of Wolves before we get on out of here?
Yeah.
I thought we did.
We joked about Lord of Wolves.
I mean,
really, basically, discuss it too much.
Basically, the ins and out of it are like, yeah, it's popular amongst a certain quadrant of people. They're wanting to make like an emblem or nameplate for folks who play Iron Banner this time around, which I think is cool. It makes for the living That's game funny. That they're talking about.
Yeah, but, exactly.
Yeah, it's all in all, it's probably going to get patched next month and neat.
We got an article talking about the Lord of Wolves, basically with them saying that, yes, it's very strong. They're seeing increased usage numbers. It's not as bad as a lot of people might think. But it's certainly not bad enough for them to do the oopsie button, like what they did with Rat King and other stuff, where they just disable it.
And it's primarily, like, stronger on PC because of mouse and keyboard.
Yep.
Yeah. Like, I used it in a match on PS4, and I gotta say, it's okay.
Yeah, you know, it's a strong weapon. It's definitely a very strong weapon, and being able to activate the Release the Wolves perk right off the bat without a kill is very good. What it functions as is kind of the ultimate anti-shotgun shotgun. And you'll notice that if you're still trying to play as a shotgun ape in Lord of Wolves range, that's probably where you're being dominated by the Lord of Wolves. Don't try to rush down somebody with a Lord of Wolves if you're wielding like Mindbenders or Retold Tail, because that's where it's going to shut you down. If you're sitting there with an Arantil, laugh. If you're sitting there with an Epicurean, Merciless, a Beloved, shoot, a Pulse Rifle. You can destroy a Lord of Wolves user with a Blast Furnace. The trick there to beating it is literally just outrange it. Yes, it's very strong and close to mid-range. Yes, it can one-shot you, especially if you're in an empowering rift at like 20 meters. That is insane. But if you're 21 meters back, voop.
Yeah. Arantil got anything, me so many times
while I was using it. Yeah, dude. Absolutely. And it's definitely, I've seen people talk about how they've seen a lot of it on PS4 and whatnot. I looked at the usage numbers, like I said earlier in the show, it's about 6.2% usage in PvP right now. It's definitely mostly a PC thing. I see a lot of it on PC, but it's not the world ending overpowered monster that a lot of people are pretending it is. It's not
Prometheus Lens.
Yeah, it's not Prometheus
like,
remember lens.
When, yeah, like when we had the Prometheus lens weekend where it was literally just tapping everybody from
laser tag weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, if it, I'm looking at chat here. I agree. If it played a bit like it did on PC on console, you would be seeing more of it. If you had the range of motion and whatnot that you do on PC on console, which is what I play on. I play on PC. You'd probably be seeing a lot more of it. But as it is on console, it's not much of a problem. And on PC, it's only a problem if you're still trying to shotgun eight people.
Yeah,
that's really where you're gonna. And even then, you can still get around it with decent vertical plays, which is easy to do. Very easy to do on PC, let me tell you. So it's probably going to get nerfed. If anything, I would hope that all they do to it is, if they don't want to revert it to the way it was working before, if they want to keep the ability for people to control when they activate release the wolves, which I agree is a nice thing to have. I think, Nim, you made some complaints about that, how much ammo you wasted beforehand with Lord of Wolves not being able to control that perk. If they want to keep it the way it is right now, I think the only change that they should make is make it so that you have to get a kill before you can activate release the wolves. That's it. That is literally the only change that needs to happen.
You can activate it with an empty mag right now.
Yeah.
I did that earlier. Was like
zero kills.
What? How is that a
thing? What am I loading?
What?
Like, looking in the magazine, what did I put in there? What is this?
Nothing. I put air. That's bad for the gun, probably. It's a bad time.
Probably. Yeah. So yeah, that's all I would say. Just make it so that you have to get a kill before you can manually activate release the wolves. Done. That's the only change that needs to happen there. Because being able to activate that for free right off the bat is a little on the easy side. I'll say that. We'll see what they do, though. Hopefully. Their article response to Lord of Wolves was heartening to me, because they didn't come out and say, yeah, this thing's way too strong, we're going to break it. They just kind of said, people are noticing that it's pretty good, we're not going to do anything about it right now, because it's not bad enough for us to do anything. Yeah. So hopefully that's kind of what they're playtesting on the back end right now.
Yeah, not bad.
That's all I had to say about Lord of Wolves.
Yeah, I don't have much to say on it either. I mean,
yeah, it was okay.
I've been playing a ton this week with the Menagerie Fusion Rifle, the Epicurean.
Yeah,
and that thing is good. It's good, man. I've got a pretty decent roll of it with like Feeding Frenzy, accelerated coils, and that thing just works as a fantastic anti-shotgun weapon. Mm-hmm. Like the moment I see a Titan come around a corner with his one-eyed stink and start trying to boost towards me, it's just it's good. All the Menagerie weapons are super good.
Yeah.
Except maybe the shotgun. I don't know about the shotgun.
I've heard that the shotgun can roll with, like, full auto and trench barrel, and it's pretty good.
Not bad.
Ooh.
Yeah. But I've been using the Epicurean as well, and I have a few. I have a few Epicureans that I've been using. And because it's a little bit different, it doesn't have as a high impact as the Arentil. The one that I've been favoring a little bit more in the Crucible... that I have is it's a tap the trigger and backup plan. Ooh. Epicurean. It doesn't have range masterwork because this was literally the first one that I got. But that's been real nice to just kind of like counter apes that are coming my way. That's been real good. I have grinded a few more that have a range masterwork, and I think the one that I also use from time to time has a range of like 90, which is dumb.
Okay.
but it's still not as consistent in long range as an Arentil is. It's still a solid fusion rifle. It's still really, really good. But I have noticed that Arentil just tends to be a little bit more consistent for those longer range kills that Epicurean is, which is why I kind of prefer the backup plan Epicurean that I have, because it's a reliable way of like, shit, this dude is literally turning the corner ahead of me, backup plan, voop him into like...
It's a good panic button.
It is. It's a good panic button.
Which is what the backup plan was for. Plan C, the exotic that originally debuted on, it was literally used as the shotgun panic button. That's what it was for. Yep. Remember back in the day, oh my god, back in the day with like the Matadors and Shot package when that was running wild, that was one of the counters to that. Whip out Plan C, immediately voop away. And that's kind of how that perk still plays here in Destiny 2. Other great fusions, Merciless. This is something our buddy Aura, who's a host here on the show, has been preaching pretty much since year one. Merciless is a fantastic PvP fusion rifle. Like, if you're out there and you haven't been lucky enough to get a decent air intel either from Banshee or from the Menagerie, you can actually roll them in the Menagerie, which is awesome. That is awesome that you can roll that in the Menagerie. Merciless will work fantastic for you. It's got great range, great damage, great stability. If you got the masterwork for it, it's even better. And it's actually pretty good at melting supers. It's not a bad super killer out there in PvP, which actually kind of brings me back to Lord of Wolves as the one thing that I'm most sad about when it comes to a nerf. At least I was before I read that article. The ability to shut down supers, which is something that is hugely underrepresented in weapons that we have in Crucible today. There are only a few weapons that you can use right now to effectively shut down roaming supers. And it's basically Lord of Wolves, Acrius, and maybe Wardcliffe Coil. And after that, you've got to get lucky with something like a 1-2 punch shotgun or swashbuckler or something like that. One of my favorite things about Lord of Wolves over the past like 6 or 7 months that I've been using the gun is that it absolutely eats supers alive. Like a single full release, the Wolves Burst destroys almost anything but the highest shield supers, so like Titans. And thankfully, Bungie mentioned that. They mentioned that in their article that because of Lord of Wolves, they're seeing that it's a reliable way to take down roaming supers.
Yeah.
So they're going to be looking at roaming super damage resistance moving forward. And we might be seeing some kind of change with that, which I'm happy to hear that. I miss the days when you could shotgun melee a rushing hunter and just blast him right out of his arc strider or his blade dance, rather. I miss that.
Yeah.
Smart plays. It looks like Nim doesn't miss it. Looks like Nim's dreading popping.
I'm already kind of sad because I feel like Nova Warp already gets taken down fairly quickly.
But that's okay. That kind of, it had its time.
But that's okay. We're made of paper.
Comes from the hunter.
Yeah, it's okay. We're made of paper and dreams, but that's okay.
I'm just already like, okay.
Yeah, hopefully, because not all roaming supers are the same. Like, Golden Gun has virtually no armor. Like, right. you can laugh at a Golden Gun user, and they'll die from the hurt feelings. it's mostly stuff like Arc Strider, which has a ton of damage resistance, and really any of the Titan supers that have a ton of damage resistance that are probably going to be getting looked at. Hopefully not Nova Warp, because Nova Warp, ouch.
It's already gotten the D way too many times, man.
It keeps getting the D. It like keeps signing up for it, and I'm sad about it because, ouch.
No, we're not. It's forced upon
us. It gets on the mailing list for the D.
I'm pretty sure its name was forged by a hunter on that mailing list for that mail order D there. But I want to be able to shut down a super reliably with a special weapon. I don't want it to be too easy, though. I don't know. Yeah. Maybe I'm just all over the place on that. We'll have to see what they do.
It's a fine balance that they have to strike.
Well, we'll see what they do with it in a month or so, because I do believe the next sandbox update... Well, I shouldn't say sandbox update, but the next update is coming in July, I want to say. So, in time for Solstice and all that. Hopefully we learn about it soon.
I know.
Yeah. Well, all right. Was that all the new stuff we had to cover for the week?
I think the only other thing was the Heroic Menagerie changes.
Oh,
brought up in the TWAB.
Oh, yeah. Ooh, I'm actually really bummed that Aura's not here, because do you guys remember what he said on the last show about the one thing?
He wanted like a challenge.
Yeah.
You asked for it, brother. Do you remember the thing he said, the one thing he didn't want it to be?
No.
Just the addition of modifiers.
Yeah. Oh, right.
Get clapped Aura. Yeah, we learned about Heroic Mode Menagerie. That's starting up this week on Tuesday. It looks pretty interesting. Of course, there's going to be no matchmaking for it. It's going to have some additional modifiers tied on, like Extinguish. Ouch. Yeah. Owie.
Extinguish. There's fail states.
Yeah.
They're adding a fail state. That is not a thing in normal Menagerie. So, Extinguish. If your entire fire team dies, back to orbit you go. Fail state. If you don't 100% complete a challenge, meaning the gauntlet. Yeah. All you people who can't jump through fire, back to orbit you go.
Mountaintop. Just mountaintop through it.
Oh, just mountaintop. You're right. We'll just grenade.
Shoot the thing with the mountaintop, and then you'll be fine. You're good.
There you go. For all the people with mountaintop, just use another grenade launcher with stickies. You're fine. Or a Telesto. But yeah, that's pretty interesting. The power levels are going to be starting at 750 and going up to 770.
Cool with that. That's higher than the raid.
Menagerie is higher than the raid. Okay. You know, I'm actually cool with the power level change. I'm okay with the extinguish. I'm a little worried about the fail state for the challenges, yeah, sending you back to orbit. We're going to have to see how that goes with like the Arcborn and the gauntlet challenge. But my number one thing and my concern here, what's the loot? Why am I running this?
Yeah.
Why am I running heroic? Why am I getting five of my friends together to go and run the heroic mode of the menagerie? Because let me tell you what, it sure ain't going to be for challenge, Bungie.
So,
it's absolutely, I'm not going to run that for a challenge.
What if you find bad juju in there? Is that good enough?
That might be it. Okay, so I get bad juju. What after that?
Nothing. You did it once. You're golden.
My bud in chat, Darklin returns. Swords?
You know, that's what everybody I've been hearing is saying. And maybe swords are going to be tied to it. There was a thing about Dark Drinker being in the Season of Opulence by previous leakers.
Oh, that's right. That was a thing.
Maybe it's that. But ultimately, these things, if it doesn't have the loot, why am I playing it?
Yeah.
Granted, in the TWAB, Bungie does say that there's new triumphs and whatnot tied to it, and they say that there's new rewards. Usually they use the term rewards for, like, weapons and armor and whatnot, but as of yet, we have seen absolutely nothing of that. And if it's...
I don't think there will be.
I don't really think there will be either. Like, I'm super scared, guys. I'm super scared that there's not going to be any reason to run Heroic Menagerie, and if there isn't any loot, why am I doing it?
Yeah. I mean, so here's the thing. I am down to the last upgrade on my chalice. Imperials, I'm not really going to need to do any more triumphs for the menagerie in order to get Imperials for them, right? Most of the armor can already be acquired from normal mode menagerie. The only thing we haven't seen is it's the swords, like the re-upgraded swords, the class-specific ones. Like, that's the only thing we haven't seen. We know that there's a catalyst for bad juju, but obviously, you know, they're doing a zero-hour thing with that, where it's just kind of like a hidden thing.
I wouldn't be surprised.
On the calendar. I don't think it's going to be tied to Heroic Menagerie. Just simply because of the fact that the following week we're going to have the Lumina quest.
Yep.
So like a back-to-back thing like that, I don't know if that's something that they're going to want to play. They're probably going to want to extend that as far as they can into August, because we're still going to have a whole month. And it's probably going to be just like Outbreak, where if we do end up seeing bad juju, it's probably going to be during August, because that's as far as Season of Opulence like goes. So
heroic. A lot of people are talking about some of the hidden stuff in the in your collections right now. Like, we have a hidden special weapon, we have a hidden heavy, and we have a hidden kinetic primary.
We know
primary.
What the kinetic is.
The kinetic primary is gonna be the hand cannon for the Lumina quest. We're pretty sure about that one. Right there. You just gotta accept it, Nim. You gotta accept it. Whoever's in charge of lore just threw that out and were like, nah, Rose is a completely separate gun from Thorn. It's not. They're the same gun. They were always the same gun. Why? Whatever. Just moving on from it. Another thing is there's like 200 plus classified items in the database right now. A lot of speculation behind that was that that's year one gear, that Bungie's finally ready to move on into year two. That could be something. Maybe some of that's tied to the menagerie. I would doubt it.
Yeah.
I'd say it's probably just going to be swords.
200 swords!
200 different
200 all the swords you can now have with 70 sword bullets!
There you go. You can finally have all the swords your heart desired from the start of this.
Yeah, Dark Side Royalty lore says that Rose was better as a melee weapon in the lore. And yeah. Yeah, and then it became Thorn. I don't know why there's another hand cannon out there with the same shape and body of Thorn before it was corrupted. But, you know, I guess whatever. It's fine. It's a thing.
Make your peace. Take a swig. There you go. All the way down. Make your peace with it, man. But yeah, you know, as of right now, we don't know. We have no idea what the rewards for the menagerie are going to be. Like I said, it's a good sign that Bungie used the term rewards while they were talking about triumphs and all that other stuff that's going to be tied to it. But yeah, we're not going to see until Tuesday. If there's no new stuff to earn, I'm going to be hard-pressed to find myself in there doing heroic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I almost wonder, like, they kind of give a couple hints at the end. It's like, can you defeat heroic mode with fewer than 6 players? Maybe with specific loadouts? Yeah, that's definitely going to be a triumph. Like
100%.
What if the curated weapons drop from heroic mode?
That would be interesting.
Because I don't think, I haven't seen a curated weapon drop in normal menagerie.
No, yet. I have still never seen one drop. Yeah.
There's still a couple of shaders in there as well that, that we haven't unlocked yet, that come from activities.
That could be it.
See, like, the curated weapon drops from there, like a chance at them.
But, so, my only argument against that would be, would that be enough now that, you know, you've gotten your Rangefinder Eye of the Storm or Outlaw Max Range Ostringer? Is that enough to get you back in there?
Have you guys seen that episode of American Dad where, I can't remember the name of the mother, is trying to get Roger to do something? Francine? Trying to get Roger to do something, and he's just laying down there, and he pulls out a whistle.
No!
Yeah. That's unless the curated roles have something special on them, like, I've got two different Ostringers, one for PvE, one for PvP, and I don't really need to go for a curated version of those. I've got a decent Epicurean, I don't need to go for one of those. I got a decent Drawn, I don't need to go for one of those.
Drang?
But it's so we're going to need to see what it is that Bungie's tying to this new in-game game mode that's harder than the raid, or at least got stronger enemies than the premier raid of this season. What's going to be the reason for us running through that content? Hopefully they have an answer for that question on Tuesday. Absolutely. Well, all right. I think that's it for all the news, isn't it?
Yep.
Yes, sir.
All the news.
Time to move on to audience questions?
Yep. We got three. Ooh, we got three. Come on. We're just going to rapid fire them. Crazy Taco Snip asks, what's the point of destroying the vault if they keep bringing back D1 exotics?
Story purposes, and literally that's it.
Bungie made an oopsie, and they're fixing the oopsie by giving you your stuff back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree. It was... As TBL said.
Yeah.
That's it. That's literally it.
I think the mindset they had when D2 first came out of leaving all that stuff behind is not the mindset that they're currently rolling with. They're in oopsie, here's your stuff back, give us money kind of mode.
We're sorry we took your stuff away.
Have it back.
Buy Shadow DLC. Yeah.
Don't be mad anymore. L Mills asks, do you think that the interviews, tweets, and flurry of info that Bungie has been giving is going to continue, or will it die off after Shadowkeep?
I want it to continue, but we've seen it die off after big releases like Forsaken.
So, and the only thing that I can think of, I'm going to be very hopeful and hope that it continues, that it, that it's
yeah.
even more bolstered by the fact that they're like, you know what? Like, this is for you guys. This is the game for you guys. Everything that they said in that Vidoc when they announced Shadowkeep, right?
Yeah.
Right. And that maybe it was like slightly an Activision decision, because right now, so Activision is publicly traded, right? And mm-hmm. anything that they were to like be more open about affects stock prices, right? It effectively affects the company. Right now, aren't they more privately owned? Like, because of the deal that they made?
Activision or Bungie?
Bungie.
Bungie is privately owned.
Yeah.
Activision is publicly traded.
Right. So, their decisions are their own to make, would be my feeling now. Whereas anything prior to that would have some sort of financial implication down the line. So, for Activision as a publicly traded company. So, my hope is that they're able to be more open and forthcoming with things in that regard. But who knows? We're not in the future in it.
So it goes. I hope so as well. And I kind of want them to take the same route that Digital Extreme has.
mm-hmm.
Because they're self-published as well, as mm-hmm. if I'm not mistaken. And I mean, we kind of got a hint, like a taste of that with that Bungie Vidoc. I mean,
yeah.
prior to that, like, they never released like information where like the future raid was going to be, let alone
yeah.
show like footage of it, or like them showing concept art and in progress work of like
exotics, yeah,
like stuff like that. They never had shown before. It was just, you know, previews and trailers, but that was it. We never got like a behind the scenes look towards that kind of stuff. So I'm hoping that because they're no longer tied, they don't have those chains anymore, that they could be a little bit more frank about these kinds of things
with the capital R reasons.
Yeah.
It would certainly be nice to hear from them more consistently moving forward, because I love that. I love seeing some of the behind the scenes stuff there of them testing that exotic heavy bow and the hand cannon that burns you and all that kind of stuff. I love mm-hmm. that kind of stuff. And I'd love to hear more. We'll see. Don't ghost us. Yeah. I agree. Don't ghost us, Bungie.
Jebby asks, what do you all think about the reskinned armor in Year One things coming back? By this, the Warlock chest in the Menagerie is the Iron Banner chest.
I'll say it. I was happy to see that. Like, when I got that chest piece of Menagerie, because I was just trying to complete my collection, I was like, wait, I recognize... That's my year... That's the thing that got me to level 30. I was happy with that. Like,
yeah.
I'm perfectly fine with, like, the Menagerie-specific gear being retextures of D1 stuff. I think that's perfectly fine. I love it. I was super happy to see that kind of stuff come back. I would love it if they expanded upon it.
Yeah, me, same here. As long as we get more stuff to wear outside of the stuff that Zavala and Shax is selling for like the past year.
Yeah.
I'm fine with it.
Whether we wanted it or not, all our stuff went to Goodwill.
Yeah. So all we've got is these same t-shirts for the last year. My man Devrim still sitting there on Earth in that church, sipping the same glass of tea, selling the exact same weapons and armor that he has since this game came out. Please, please refresh that inventory.
Dan someday. Over here trying to kill me with my own fucking gear, dude.
Yeah, so I was psyched. I was psyched to see the D1 Iron Banner gear, especially for Warlock, pop up and be represented in that chess piece. That was one of my favorites from Destiny 1. Very happy to see that come back.
Yeah, I'm hell stoked.
Yeah. I think yep. I've said before, I wouldn't even mind it if Bungie were to expand on the Menagerie. You know, add in new bosses and add in new D1 weapons to earn in there. I think that'd be cool. That'd keep me coming back to it after I've, you know, had my fill of Menagerie
yeah.
runs.
Yeah. 100%.
I could see them doing that as a game mode moving forward.
Yeah. Be neat.
I don't know if I would have chosen that helmet for Warlocks, though. The snake helmet. I can't remember when that was edited. Wasn't that a PlayStation exclusive helmet?
That was a PlayStation exclusive during Taken King. It was called the Azoth Bend set.
Yeah, that was it. I don't know if I would have chose that one as the representative there in the menagerie, but
well, you don't like being a snake.
I mean, snake. Maybe not on my dome piece. Maybe if Ophidians were a little bit better. I have snakes on my arms, but sheesh. But yeah, I like that stuff. I'm cool with it. Definitely cool with it.
Yeah.
All right. Was that it for the questions?
That's it.
Well, all right, ladies and gentlemen, we did it. We actually had an episode underneath 2 hours this week.
Yay!
We did it for once. For once in our careers. Thank you all so much for tuning in to episode 204 of the Planet Destiny podcast. We actually kind of went through a surprisingly a lot on this episode, even though we're cutting it a little bit earlier.
We were pretty brisk about it. It was nice.
We found the secret. It's just don't have aura here. just don't have aura. And suddenly the show ends 40 minutes earlier. I'm kidding. We love you, buddy. Feel better. He's not feeling good today. Everybody just send him love.
Get well
feel
soon.
Feel better, buddy.
Go give him a follow. That'll help him out.
There you go. Follow and subscribe at Evil Aura with a 3 for the E. But thank you guys so much for tuning in. It's been a ton of fun. I hope you guys enjoy next week, because that's going to be post-heroic mode. And I'm going to at least run it once. I'll run it once for you guys so I can determine whether or not it's good enough. It's a good use of your time, or if it deserves an angry TBL rant video.
Stay tuned. Oh god, I want the video so bad.
I might have to do it anyway and just ignore if like it's got rewards. This game mode sucks. There's no reason to be in here. We keep getting kicked to orbit. Gosh, Bungie.
When did you become Napoleon Dynamite?
I know. I transferred like midway through that sentence. I just went full Napoleon.
According to a CNET article, that's the secret to becoming a successful YouTuber. Just say angry shit online. So.
Yo, makes I've been sense. Doing it wrong all this time? Yo, I've got... Start up the salt mines, boys. We're ready to go. Next PewDiePie coming on in.
Oh, my God.
But thank you guys so much for tuning in. It's been an absolutely fun week. Looking forward to catching you guys next week. Before we get on out of here, of course, we're going to let you know where you can find us across the internet if you want to go spew more salt or opinions at us over the course of the next 7 days. Starting with... our wonderful host here, Mr. Danfinity, who does a beautiful job of hosting the show. Thank you, sir.
Oh, hi. I'm Danfinity. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram, Danfinity, but the eyes are also Dan Flannelty. You can find me on Twitch, twitch.tv/Danfinity, almost every day of the week. So next week, I will be in San Diego, so I won't be able to like hang out with you guys at Guardian Con or, you know, like... be here, but I wish you all the best of luck. I wish Aura the best of health, and to you guys out there in the world, if you listen to podcasts outside of Planet Destiny, you can find my podcast Side Quest Sunday out every Sunday at 12:30 a.m. on your platform of choice. This week we had Tiddly. It is a wonderful conversation. Ooh.
SideQuest Sunday, fantastic show. I say it every week. Go watch it. It's hilarious, the kind of interviews this guy gets into. It's fun. Good quality entertainment.
I try.
Mr. Nim Plays. Where you at, man?
Twitter.com/NimPlays and twitch.tv/NimPlays. We're going to be continuing with Amalur Mondays tomorrow. I'm going to be continuing that playthrough. Also, as a side note, since y'all are here, since a lot, minus Dan and myself, but since half of the podcast is going to Guardian Con, there most likely won't be an episode next week.
Yeah.
So as a heads up, we'll be here the weekend.
Tentatively after, the 7th, I think.
Tentatively. Yes.
I think we have a guest for that show already.
Possibly. It's in the ether, it's in the air. We'll see what happens.
It's happening.
Working it out.
We'll see what happens.
Okay. Our people are talking to his people. So that's me. TBL, take it away.
Yeah, by the way, you enjoying Kingdoms of Amalur?
Dude, I loved that game when it came out in 2012. I played through it then, and it was an amazing game. Super underrated.
Absolutely.
I think I got it off like Humble Bundle for like free.
Ooh. That's the best price.
So I was like, you know what, dude? I have this game. It's been a few years since I've played through it. Let's play it. Let's play it. And it's such an underrated game. And it's
absolutely
it had the fate that it did.
Yeah, I'm glad you're enjoying your time on there. I also want to see Bloodstained streams from you at some point in time.
I'd have to start all over again.
Well, okay. You can beat it. You can beat it first and have fun with it. Figure out where everything is. Then I want to see some Bloodstained stream from you.
Bloodstained like, Pro?
Nobody plays a Metroidvania game once. Nobody plays once. You really don't. You're like, wow, that was great. Let's go back in and see what I missed. That's how those games are meant to be played. That's right. Good stuff.
I'm hoping if this, so far this has followed everything that Symphony of the Night has had. I should probably put that down. I hope it continues by having the inverted version of the castle.
Yeah.
So keeping my fingers crossed for that.
That's such an EGA thing. There's no way he didn't do that. There's no way.
Dude, on the Steam page, I don't know if you've seen it, but on the Steam page in the additional notes about the game where like it tells you the system requirements and the minimum and shit like that, it says, one says, what is a man? And the second one says, nothing but a pile of miserable secrets. So good. All right. TBL, take it away.
Feels good. If you're a Castlevania fan, I know that had to make you squeal a little bit like it did to me. All right. My name is The Black Link. You can find me pretty much everywhere on the internet, Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, all at The Black Link. This week, we're probably going to have our usual live streams, the usual Destiny grind stream from Tuesday to Friday. Thinking about streaming some other stuff, too. Been jumping back on Final Fantasy XIV secretly. Hopefully John's not here and didn't hear that, because he's going to be mad that I was back on there and he wasn't. Oh well, cat's out of the bag now, buddy. I've been back in crafting in Hawker's Alley. Get at me.
Without you.
Maybe I'll stream some of that. Yeah, without you. I'm making all the money. It's all mine. Every last ounce of it. All the gil is mine. I love it.
I run this Empire, see? Some of that and whatnot.
That's right. That's right. See? We're going 1920s gangster here with the Gil Empire in Final Fantasy XIV. But you can tune in, check all that stuff out all across the internet. Of course, I have the usual videos coming out on the YouTube channel as well as on the Planet Destiny YouTube channel. So make sure you're staying tuned to all the news bits there. But all right, ladies and gentlemen, that is it for episode 204 of the Planet Destiny podcast. Thank you all so much for tuning into this week. It's been a ton of fun, and we're looking forward to seeing you guys in the next show. If you're at Guardian Con, we'll see you there. Bye, everybody. Catch you guys next time.